There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Match Ball.
So welcome to the Match Ball 30, our game-by-game real-time journey 30 years on the Match Ball 30, charting the events of 30 years ago. I'm Dan Moylan, with me Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And so is Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Nottingham. Can you smell Nottingham in the air?
Well, we should be smelling Crystal Palace, but they have not let us play.
Well, we finished last season at Nottingham. We heard from Chris Fairclough, who said he thought this next season, this forthcoming season that we're about to embark on, born in Nottingham, said it was going to be difficult. And then the first game of the season is going to be Nottingham. Shouldn't have been, though.
No. Crystal Palace have seriously upset Howard Wilkinson by, with about 3 days' notice, decided that the building works at Selhurst Park mean we cannot open the season there while the rest of the league plays. Those responsible for the management of Selhurst Park have known for 14 weeks, says Howard Wilkinson, when the new season would start. Yet here we are, 3 days away from that start, and we have a postponement. It's nothing short of disgusting.
And he is right. Like, there's no, absolutely no excuse for it. It feels like they should be just giving us the points for this rather than making us actually play this at a later date.
Wilkinson's gone to them with every possible option. So behind closed doors, move the game somewhere else. Just give us the points was another one if they can't do it. But the Football League have basically just gone, no, it's fine, sort yourselves out. So after a very good summer, exciting new signings, exciting Happy Mondays gig, building works of our own, Wilkinson points out, you know, we've built a new stand in the southeast corner, we've got a new police box, alterations here, there and everywhere, we're halfway through making a banqueting suite, and we're ready to play. But this has been called off, and so, yes, as he says, amid all the talk of Super Leagues and Premier Leagues, which has been the other theme of the summer,
never happened.
Situations like this must be laughable. The Italian League and the Germans must be splitting their sides, laughing at us.
Speaking of, I'm a new stand. What does it look like? I've not seen it yet.
It's weird. It's like was supposed to be built in the 1970s. They've had the foundations there since then, just sitting in the corner of the ground. But it's like, take the south stand and just put a little corner on it, because the whole idea was that the design of the south stand would then go around the east, all at kind of the same roof level, and link up with the cop. So it looks like you could do that. But after this sort of wedge of new seats is
cheese colours.
Yeah, the bright yellow. I think there's some blue ones in there too. They keep moving the seats around and putting them back in and out in the south stand. There's then, it ends, and then there's the old grass bank and the low fields sheds on top of it. So it's an odd looking stand, but it's a little bit more room.
And at least we finished it on time. Not like these pricks.
This is true. And what it does mean is we have a free Saturday at the start of the season. So what will we do? Well, we'll indulge this Nottingham fetish even more, because Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, massive in the cinema at the minute, isn't it? Have you seen that? That's set in Nottingham, isn't it? With that American chap.
The Bryan Adams song, it's a belter,
well,
isn't it?
Well, that has gone to number one and has been there for quite a few weeks now. So it's all about Nottingham this summer. But it does mean that with us going to the cinema on the Saturday, we can watch us play Aldershot on the Friday in what has probably been termed a hastily arranged friendly.
Yeah, Wilkinson was just desperate for us to play anybody. And I think Aldershot, having gone bust quite recently available. So nearest thing possible to a first team friendly, allowing for the fact that Mel Sterland is not very fit, although he did have to come on after half an hour because somebody cut Chris Fairclough's lip, which is not what you want in a pre-season match. Five stitches.
And the lineup for this one then, yeah, John Lukic, McClelland, DiRigo.
Who?
Oh, well, we'll come on to that in a minute. Batty, Fairclough, White, Strachan, Rod Wallace.
Who?
Lee Chapman, Gary McAllister, Gary Speed. And then we have subs. Mel Sterling came on for Fairclough with that cut lip after half an hour. Not just a cut lip, five stitches. Feels like more than a cut lip. And then Steve Hodge for
who?
Steve Hodge. Sign him from guess where?
Why are you listing players that we don't own?
Steve Hodge, guess where we signed him from? Go on.
Notts County.
Correct. For Gary Speed. Mike Whitlow came on for Chris White. And we had Mervyn Day and Imre Vardy on the bench. How did it finish? And then we'll introduce these strangers.
It finished in a win for Leeds United, as you would hope, against them. 3-1, half-time. A very brave 3,931 people went in. But yeah, McAllister first half, then a goal each for Wallace and Chapman, our new strike partnership, in the second half. And Keith Burchin, Aldershot's number 9, had made it 1-1 in the 80th minute. But then class telled, didn't it? And we got away with a win in the end.
Well, do you reckon we've addressed finally our left-back problem? Because both Peter Haddock and Jim Beglin have retired this summer, previous incumbents of the left-back position over the last couple of years, because they're both knackered, but we've spent an awful...
Is that the medical term?
Yep. They are now pottering around in a field with some broken horses. Tony DiRigo from Chelsea.
Well, I was just going to say, even Glyn Snowden has been loaned out to Oldham. So we didn't have a game today, but he was playing for Oldham against Liverpool in the Oldham's return to the First Division. But yeah, we don't need him because looking back over the summer, it was the 11th of May that we beat Nottingham Forest in the last game of last season. And then talk about getting your business done. 21st of May, we signed two players for the price of one from Southampton.
Almost.
2 days later, we get another one. 5 days after that, there's two more coming from Sheffield Wednesday. And then it took a while longer to get Steve Hodge out of Nottingham Forest, but that's because Brian Clough is gone to Brian Clough. But
so, yeah, great stuff. So Rod and Ray Wallace signed as a pair, as a double act. Feels like Rod did probably quite a lot of the heavy lifting in that one, given that he cost 1.6 million and Ray was 100,000.
We could owe, I think it's another 100,000 or 50,000, depending on how many games Ray Wallace plays. There is an appearance-related additional fee to be wary of with him. But I think Rod is the exciting one. Striker who can play as a winger, who's got pace and trickery, and as great as Carl Schultz was, I think he was probably the pick of Lee Chapman's strike partners in the end last season. He's maybe a little bit more dynamic than Carl, certainly at the start of the season, because somebody beat Carl Schultz up at a wedding. So he's not having the happiest.
Yeah, I was intrigued by that one.
Yeah, I think it was some kind of family wedding went wrong, but these things happen in Sheffield. So,
well, it's one big family wedding, that, isn't it, really, in Sheffield?
And certainly Rod has got more about him than, for example, John Pearson. And as Wilkinson says, it's not just that he can play as a striker. He can go wide right, wide left, through the middle. And he can play in different ways as well as in different places and pace, because apart from Mike Whitlow, we've not really a really rapid player in the squad. So bringing a bit of that in up front is good.
And a foil for Lee Chapman, big man, little man combo, always a favourite. And, you know, we've broken the transfer record there with 1.6 million. When we got DiRigo a couple of days later, would have broken it had it not been broken already a couple of days before.
It's come close.
Poor Tony DiRigo as well. Young, bright-eyed, definitely bushy-haired Australian lad who came over and joined Villa into the hands, the merciless hands of Doug Ellis, was then essentially trafficked to Ken Bates at Chelsea, hated every minute of being at both clubs, and then finally the safe, welcoming bosom of Bill Fotherby and Leslie Silva brought him to Leeds for 1.3 million.
We do seem to have addressed all of our problems in a slightly uncharacteristically effective way here. We needed more pace. We needed a left back. We needed a striker.
You want to be very careful about how you're describing the left back spot at Leeds as a problem when Mike Whitlow is the one that we have not disposed of over the summer.
We have traded a racing car for more of a Rolls Royce, is how I would think of.
You're not going to get much speed out of a Rolls Royce.
What's
the
Tony DiRigo?
What's the 0-60 on a Rolls Royce compared to Mickey Witt's?
And back end of May, John Newsome and David Weather all signed for relatively small sums. A great bunch of lads from Sheffield, big Wilco favourites, and David Weather all a brain the size of a planet.
Well, yes, he's unusual for a footballer. He's a chemistry student, so he's still doing that. They're letting him finish his chemistry degree, but this is a classic Mick Hennigan, the assistant manager, and Wilkinson signing. Mick has been reading the local paper in Sheffield and spotted that John Newsome had turned down a new contract. So Hennigan and Wilco took Newsome out for dinner, offered him more money than Wednesday, and then asked him who else in Sheffield Wednesday's youth team squad might be available. So he said, oh, well, we may Dave Weatherall. He'll come. So there we go, two defenders. And it's helpful if they turn out to be good because, you know, we mentioned the team against Aldershot with John McClelland filling in at right back instead of Mel Stirling. John McClelland he's 60 years old if he's a day. And most of our squad, I think there's only Batty, Speed, Mickey Witts, Simon Grayson from the old squad before we signed these new players who were under the age of 25. And now Rod Wallace is only 21. His twin is roughly the same age. Tony DiRigo, I think, is 25. These two kids are 20. So bringing the average age down quite a bit is handy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And Steve Hodge, England midfielder. Steve Hodge signed at the start of July from Nottingham Forest, as we mentioned. Tried to get him out of the clutches of Brian Clough. Wasn't that easy. The question marks over exactly where he's going to play, given that our starting 11 is pretty much, you know, imagine it's going to be nailed down, don't you?
The bench is where he probably plays. But maybe that's not a bad thing because, you know, it gives us options there, doesn't it?
£900,000 on a bench warmer, Michael. Surely questions need to be asked.
That's the era we're in, though, isn't it? Have you not seen how much a cup season ticket is these days? £112.
Bloody hell.
It's got to go somewhere, hasn't it? That sort of the excess has to be spent. So, yeah, it's good to have a quality backup, though, isn't it? Because last year it felt like if ever players were injured, it necessitated a full reshuffle of everyone.
It was Andy Williams kept coming into midfield, didn't he, who is still with us, but is still on the transfer list as he was when he was kicking lumps out of scum players in the League Cup semi-final. You don't know how long Gordon Strachan can possibly go on for, aged 34, whether Hodge is maybe a replacement for him. You replace an experienced Scottish international who went to the 86 World Cup with a slightly younger England international who let Maradona punch the ball past Peter Shilton. It was Hodge that the ball deflected up and off. Or there's also Liverpool keep trying to buy David Batty, and there was the reports after we'd signed Hodge, Graham Souness was straight in trying to get Batty off us. And so there's always that thing whether Wilkinson fully trusts Batty or whether he would maybe think, well, Steve Hodge is reliable. He says he's been trying to sign Hodge for Sheffield Wednesday before he even came to Leeds. You might think, well, cash in on that moody child that never listens to me and play Hodge instead. So the Aldershot lineup is perhaps not representative because Hodge has been injured in pre-season, which is hopefully not going to be a theme in the actual season itself. But extra strength, it's quite a big Leeds flex. We're among the biggest spenders of the summer. We didn't bother going for Dean Saunders, let him go to Liverpool.
It looked like an auction was breaking out there, so I'm glad we didn't get involved in that because he was pricey.
Yeah, we've resisted Chris Waddle, although Wilkinson did say that if he would be interested in him at 2 million, I think the same as he'd be interested in Gary Lineker if he was half a million. So we obviously rated him, but we've done some good business there. And Tony Dorigo is an England international, was at the World Cup, played in the third place playoff. Steve Hodge, 86 World Cup, and went to the 91, I think. Did he go in 90 or was he injured? Whatever. He's an England international anyway. And considering where we were and where we are, it's quite a flex for Leeds United. We're on the up.
North of 4 million quid has gone out. That is a not inconsequential sum. So it all points in the right direction.
And it is. I've just checked. It's another 100,000 if Ray Wallace plays 50 games.
Right.
So maybe not this season, but next season we might have to dole out some more cash.
The money's pouring in. We've got the Yorkshire Evening Post on the front of our shirts. We're getting sniffs around Admiral doing our shirts.
Well, that's confirmed. Although they're not doing the shirt this season. Admiral will be taking over our shirt sponsorship next season, which is a bit weird that we're announcing it now while Umbro are still working with us. But Bill Fotherby is calling it a business partnership with Admiral. It's not a shirt sponsorship. Whereas the Yorkshire Evening Post have, if Bill Fotherby is to be believed, paid a substantial sum to put their name on our shirts for the season in the teeth of competition from American Airlines, North Sea Ferries, Lucasaid and Beecham, the chemicals conglomerate. Some big names there. Amazing that American Airlines
couldn't outbid the YUP.
And don't seem to have sponsored any other teams. It was either Leeds or nothing.
Yeah,
and then the
YEP
came in with a big money bid. Apparently Tetley's and Leeds Permanent Building Society were also in the running, it's the YEP.
Now we're getting to it.
Did the American Airlines discussion go as far as how many American Airlines flights go from Leeds Bradford? And they've gone, well, at the moment, none. But if you were to sponsor us, maybe it would twist a few arms at the airport authority people.
Leeds Bradford, one of the few aerodromes capable of handling Concorde. So it's really American Airlines' lack of ambition for not owning any Concordes makes it useless to them.
Hey, never mind this hot Nottingham chat. Manchester and Liverpool both descending on Yorkshire. And let me tell you, I was there.
Did you ascend the floodlights?
It wasn't.
Was that you?
I wasn't the brave raver going up to the sky. I wasn't. I watched the brave raver ascend the southeast corner floodlight and then disappear off into the night at some point.
265 feet in the air.
It was an awful long way up, but the MC did, spit out some rhymes. It was, hey, brave raver, come down to the earth, the place of your birth, et cetera, et cetera. Funny smell in the air, across Elm Road. It was a real treat to be on the pitch. I was somewhere near the centre circle for this one, and obviously there was no grass down to it. They had the matting down on top of it.
So what age are you?
I am in the summer of 1991. I believe I am 13.
Seems irresponsible.
Well, I was put on a bus. There was a special bus that ran from Bradford that went to this concert, and it was late getting out because obviously the traffic's like getting out of Elland Road, and my parents were doing their nuts because I hadn't shown up when I was supposed to show up on the return bus, and they had no way of contacting me. I did show up a little bit later on, which was just because the bus was late, but I had a jolly nice time watching the Happy Mondays and the Farm and Northside and the Lars and the High, I believe it was, and all sorts of stuff going on.
The Stereo MCs.
Yes.
Even. No Leeds bands, which is a bit of a shame. It was all Manchester and Liverpool groups, which I think is why people were a little bit worried about that mix. But music brings people together, doesn't it? And drugs.
It was a great atmosphere, I will say.
Instead of being football and booze and fighting, it was music and drugs and love.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Only 25,000 people and, like, 21 arrests, and one of those is the brave raver up the pylon, so wasn't really doing any harm, was he? Breaching the peace was the actual offence. But that went well, and a while since Queen and U2 had played at Elland Road, so good to get some money spinning concerts back on in the old stadium.
And some great memories that people will no doubt talk about for years to come. I mean, I cannot begin to tell you. I've had my photos developed now. from this.
Where did you take them?
At Boots. And how cool I look with my John Lennon specs on, my sunglasses. It was quite a bright day, and I went there with me John Lennon specs on.
Did you get them developed as a triple print, where you get the big picture and then the two little ones next to it that you can cut out?
Oh, we couldn't give away. Couldn't afford that, no. But yeah, great time. Great bunch of lads. Hopefully we'll see some more concerts there from some big names soon.
I look forward to it being blamed when the pitch is in a complete state as well in a few months' time.
Yeah, there is that too. Yeah, to factor in.
Well, it's in a better condition than Selhurst Park. At least we can play a football match.
We've got other pre-season action to wrap up as well, because we've been globetrotting.
We have become quite a big deal all of a sudden, playing pre-season matches again, home and away. Well, not home and away, but playing Brazilian champions Botafogo in Tokyo and Leeds, playing in the Tokyo Dome.
Tokyo was definitely away.
It was definitely. Well, it's away, but it's not away to Botafogo. We're also away, weren't they? So it's a neutral venue.
Yes.
But not many neutral venues, you know, when we had to play neutral venues because Elland Road had been closed due to hooliganism, we did not go to Tokyo.
Can you buy Botafogo shirts in the Square Bowl? I feel like that's one of the ones that may have been for sale in the in those adverts.
Yeah, we got the wacky shirts from around the world is how they're presented. I know you can get Fluminense, and I've seen Zero.
You spot any Newell's Old Boys one? I gather they've been doing some bits around this time. They're quite popular in Argentina.
Well, they've not won anything, have they? And they've just got that mental manager's just taken over the last couple of seasons, hasn't he? So I don't imagine anybody will want a Newell's Old Boys shirt in Leeds.
But it says not
any time. I know, they're just a laughing stock, aren't they? But and Botafogo are a laughing stock as well, because we lost to a penalty in the Tokyo Dome, but beat them 2-1 at Elland Road.
A dome, eh? That's exciting, isn't it? Play football in a dome.
Well, Elland Road will presumably be some sort of superdome before too long.
And Wilkinson...
Well, they're talking about building one at Oddsall in Bradford as well, aren't they? That's likely to become a superdome at some point.
I mean, that would be huge there. That's one of the best stadiums we've got, Oddsall, isn't it? Wilkinson, if you're keeping track of little Wilkinson-isms, the players were kept on UK time while in Tokyo, so they were training in the middle of the night to try and reduce jet lag and impact. So hopefully it was all to keep them ready for Crystal Palace. But we did risk a problem with the West Riding Senior Cup, because we came straight back from Japan to play a home game in that prestigious competition against Halifax Town. But Wilkinson just told the players to get there an hour and a half before kickoff, and he'd see who looked fit to play. And he ended up just using the reserves. And now the local FA, the West Riding FA, are threatening to fine Leeds for not taking their West Riding Senior Cup seriously enough. So Crystal Palace is one problem. They should be in trouble with the authorities. It's actually us being threatened by West Riding FA. I don't know how much action they can take against us, whether they can fulfill Graham Kelly's vow and have us thrown out the league for not respecting a game with Halifax Town. But
set of bastards.
But overall, it's been quite a good summer. It's just a shame we had to start our first division season against Aldershot instead of the Super Eagles.
Well, the season does start against Nottingham Forest. Nottingham on my mind again on the 20th of August. And we'll reconvene at Elland Road for that, shall we? The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.